friends. I'm so excited that you guys are here with us today. I have with me Emily and Sarah. They are both co-business owners with a business called Carwell Design, and they are based in Texas as of now, but are moving remote. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves and explain a little bit more about what they do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I am Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And yes, we do own an interior design studio out of Fort Worth, specializing in short-term rentals and rental properties. But yeah, you are right. We are expanding to mostly remote work and kind of going, you know, anywhere in the States and potentially global.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And I love that you guys have kind of pivoted that way. And for those of you listening, they actually have, I mean, COVID for one is something that kind of, I think, helped guide people into different directions. And, you know, was good and bad and all, you know, the good, bad and the ugly all happened within that. But a lot of good things came from that. And so you guys had that kind of helped you guys pivot into this. And then you guys also have Emily, who is moving far away to Thailand. So if you want to talk about that a little bit to explain that, how that was kind of a part of you guys.
Absolutely. So, I mean, 2020 really, you know, the start of it was one of those things where we both went into it with all sorts of goals that had nothing to do with Carwell at all. And as we've all seen it, it was really a year that brought out, you know, either the best or worst colors in businesses. And man, we just started that year, at least I did, making it a main goal to say, you know, this year is going to be all about failure. And I feel like I did not know what I was asking for when I made that my goal. You know, just one thing led to another and it kept, you know, closing certain doors and opening other doors. And eventually we kind of almost fell into this in a way that we just didn't expect to fall into it. And it's kind of spiraled from there. And so I feel like as, you know, relatively new entrepreneurs, we're almost playing a game of catch up at this point. Because the client came before the business. So when it comes to like having any sort of like systems in place or a solid idea of where you're headed or how to handle different situations, we just were like, absolutely. I mean, to a certain degree, still are kind of clueless. So it's been a game of pivoting for sure for the last year. And then we just got news a few months ago that half of the Carwell team is moving to Thailand. So I'll let Emily kind of touch on that and what's spiraled that. But that's our current obstacle, I suppose.
Moving to Thailand was kind of sprung on my husband and I. His company has a position for him over there, and it's just really an opportunity that we couldn't pass up. We don't have kids and we don't have a house right now, and so we just figured, what other time in our life can we move to another country? And obviously during COVID is a great time to do that. So initially we were supposed to be gone January 1st, but there's been a lot of delays with paperwork and everything. So probably around April, but learning about it in November gave Sarah and I a chance to kind of start pivoting our business and figuring out a way to structure it to where I can do a lot of online work and remote work and kind of the back end organization part of our business while she's more like on the ground running, doing the installs, talking to clients, more things like that, because me talking to clients in the US is going to be really interesting being 13 hours ahead.
At the end of the day, if there was one thing that 2020 taught us, it's that our skill of pivoting is probably our strongest skill. So yes. I mean, I feel like any other time if we would have been thrown that curveball, it would have been way more stressful. But you know, everyone in 2020, it was just like, wow, big surprise, another unexpected event. So it almost was like that, where we were like, you know what? That sounds about right.
Right. Oh, that's really cool though. That's a really awesome like opportunity. And it's really cool that you are just jumping on that. I mean, for one, in the middle of, kind of this pandemic situation, but like two, you just started a business. So, I mean, and that kind of ties into the fact that you guys are best friends and you right now you guys live by each other and you work close to each other. So I mean, I guess maybe can you guys talk about the idea of, one, how you guys started this business and as friends and how you've made that work? Because we all know that can make or break a friendship. There's a lot that goes into starting a business. And then just kind of how that might look now that you guys are going to be on, you know, opposite sides
of the world. Right. Well, as far as how we started, it started probably almost 2 years ago when I started running one Airbnb all by myself full time and was just kind of dabbling in it to see if it was something that was profitable enough for the amount of time it required and if it could be automated and all sorts of stuff like that. And so after I saw that it was something that I really wanted to latch on to and see if I could, I decided I was going to scale up my own Airbnbs from one unit to four units and just put in, you know, a bunch of money, buy a bunch of furniture, sign a bunch of leases. And I just, you know, believed wholeheartedly based on the little bit that I had experienced with it, that it was the right decision. And so me and my husband, you know, spent a bunch of money and a bunch of time putting together these new units. Well, those three new units became available on Airbnb March 8th of last year.
we're all
it hurts. Yeah. You know, when COVID happened and the world kind of came to a screeching halt, I thought it was going to be so much worse than it was. Like, I thought that I was going to be paying out of pocket every single month and that we were just, I was like now responsible for draining our bank account, and it just really felt terrible. But to be honest, I mean, it did impact it significantly, right? Like, it did impact the travel industry significantly, but it still wasn't as significant enough to where we weren't able to at least break even on rent. So it, you know, it slowed down my own units, and I was planning on scaling up from, you know, having one unit at the end of 2019. I wanted to have at least 12 units by the end of 2020. And that was kind of my goal, to do one a month, every month until the end of the year. Well, you know, that just kind of exploded in my face. And I was like, okay, you know, I thought this was foolproof. I thought I had it all figured out before going into it. And there was just no way that it was going to fail. And I was going to be bringing in crazy money and, you know, it's just going to be rainbows and butterflies. And, you know, as soon as that happened, I was like, man, all right. Like, you know, I have all this momentum already that's built up towards this industry. And all of a sudden the trajectory of where I thought I was headed in 2020 just completely collapsed. And so I went back to the drawing board, and at the time, Emily had just gotten her master's and was kind of job hunting as well. But can you imagine job hunting in COVID? I mean, you're fresh out of school, you have no experience in the job market, and you've got this master's degree, and you're just like twiddling your thumbs like, wow, this is also super fun.
Right. Oh, well, I mean, like, getting out of school in general is intimidating just to go into the workforce, but let alone last year, that is, I mean,
yeah, it was a rough transition, that's for sure.
So her and I were kind of sitting together in our little grumpy puddles, just being like, wow, this is so much fun for all of us. We love this. But the further I started digging into, like, plugging into the Airbnb community and getting involved in, you know, different podcasts and blogs and just kind of connecting with the Airbnb community, the thing that I noticed that everyone was complaining about is that, you know, it's a business owner's dream to kind of get into Airbnb because everything can be automated. You know, you can automate your management, you can automate your cleaning, you can automate your rent payments, you can automate literally every single portion of that business you can automate except for the design and install. Just because nobody, I mean, Airbnb is still relatively new. So you've got this, you know, big umbrella that now all these people are building the infrastructure underneath that, like, you know, other industries have had built for years and years. So, you know, I was like, man, I love this. The design is personally my favorite part. And, you know, we're at a point where we really need to start looking at, you know, what direction we can take this. And Emily was just two hands up, ready to go. She was like, yep, this sounds awesome. I have not even touched interior design before, but I love it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I just really needed that at that point in time, because I was just feeling super, you know, self-conscious and defeated. And, you know, yeah. You used to jump off the ledge with all this ambition, mm-hmm. and then you realize that you don't even have a parachute. Like, you're just free falling. Right. So, so we kind of, yeah. I reached out to a podcast, that's an Airbnb podcast specifically, that is, the two guys that hosted are in DFW, Dallas, Fort Worth. And I just was like, man, I'd love to go on there. I used to listen to their podcast all the time. And I was just like shaking in my boots signing up for that, because everybody that I listened to were like these really experienced Airbnb hosts or investors or managers or whatever it was. I was just constantly listening on this podcast to people that I was inspired by. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about going on this, because all I've done is scaled up and miserably failed. So can't wait to share my story.
Hey, that's a lot of good.
Right.
Advice.
So,
yeah.
So I just kind of opened it up to them. I was like, you know, hey, this is where I'm at, but I would love to kind of get into this realm of maybe looking at automating that portion of people's businesses that, you know, no one is automating so far, and just see what that looks like. And so they were like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Wonderful. And, you know, I didn't really hear anything back for a month or two. And then after a while, the people who host that podcast, one of them was like, hey, I have one unit for you. And then it was two units. And then it was, hey, I have a friend. And then it was, hey, I heard you on that podcast. And so since then, it's just kind of spiraled. And I thought that Emily and I would be doing this kind of on the side for fun, for extra cash. And didn't expect it to like really take off. And then the second that ball started rolling, it was just like, holy cow, I can't, you know, I still had my full-time job at the time. And I was like, I no longer can do both. Like, I am constantly apologizing at my full-time job for missing out on things, because I'm so focused on this other thing over here. And poor Emily at the time, she's like, Sarah, right. I can't do it all on my own either. So, you know, and then we decided for me to let go of my full-time job, and we've just been rolling and trucking ever since.
That is honestly, that's such a really cool story. And I think it's so needed to hear people coming from such a discouraged place, because obviously I think we've all been there one time or another, and then most likely last year. And I think, I see that, because I actually I went out on my own for real estate in January of 2020. So I had about 2 months of experience I had worked in the industry before that, but just not like fully on my own. And I remember just hearing the news and being like, oh, so I went out on a limb and, you know, risked everything for this, and you're going to tell me that everything shut down for 3 months. Not that we need that, but it is just, it's kind of one of those things where your heart just kind of sinks to your butt, and you're like, well, there's like nothing you can do. And you kind of, like you said, you have to pivot. You have to change your mindset. You have to, honestly, it's just kind of like, well, I hope you were in this for the right reasons, because otherwise this is going to be a short ride, I think.
Right. And I think there was, there was a quote that I had, you know, heard several times in the past. I think Gary Vaynerchuk said it, but he basically was like, hey, for those of you who are, and this was pre-March of 2020, he was like, for those of you that are successful right now and chasing this entrepreneur game right now, he's like, you guys don't have a clue. Like, you guys are, you know, being successful in a market that's thriving. And of course, like, you should be able to be successful then. Like, that's the easiest time to get started. But, you know, it'll really show your true colors, or, you know, make or break you once that recession hits, because it will. It will. And we know it, and it's coming. Yeah. And so I just remember, you know, hearing that and that sticking out to me and being like, oh, my gosh, I hope that that's not anytime soon when I start this. Like, just that being a fear. So it happened a week after I really jumped out off the ledge. I was like, oh, what a sick joke.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's kind of like, careful what you wish for. And And then it's just like right there, you know, smacking you in the face. And you literally have to decide, am I going for this or am I not? And it's, I think, honestly, though, if, and I think about it too, if I would have started any other time, I wouldn't have been forced into this as quickly. And I wouldn't have had to have learned what I learned. And I think it just wouldn't have been, honestly, as successful or as rewarding. So it's a weird concept because you would never actually ask for it. But when you come out of it, you just see Absolutely. All the good that comes from it. And obviously there's hard times in the middle of it too. But yeah, kudos to you guys for jumping on that and just doing it because, you know, obviously there's people who have used you and have gained something from that. And people just need business owners like you guys around. So because you're dedicated and you love what you do and you're willing to do it. If you're willing to do it in the middle of COVID, I think you're willing right. to do it That's anytime, about it. So.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, getting right. the news that Emily is moving around the world, that was just, you know, I'll let Emily speak to it a little bit, but that was just, you know, another huge adjustment that we were like, okay, well, if it was possible to start a business in the middle of a giant recession, is it possible to look at it, you know, where we can claim that we're global now and that we're, you know, we're expanding. Right. So it's just been a constant game of shifting.
Right. Yeah, that's true, though. I mean, you guys can, yeah, you guys are not limited by any means. And that's actually really cool because, I mean, there can be connections literally made around the world now. And I think, as we know, with the internet and social media, especially, like that can happen, which is wild. And I don't know that we ever expected that, but I think that's really cool. And so, yeah, like anybody listening too, there's a really high chance that you're probably from West Michigan. So obviously, like keeping that in mind that they are remote and this is something that they do, they automate a lot of it and you kind of go from there. But do you guys want to kind of shift into explaining maybe the process that you go through with clients who are looking for this and maybe, I was about to ask another question. That was going to be a lot at once.
So Absolutely. Maybe do you want to take this question or I always just talk a lot. So I'm always like trying to be cognizant of my quieter best friend so I'm not running her over.
It's okay, that's why we work.
Yeah, that's true. Right,
at least you know it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can kind of start it out. So usually we'll have a lot of our first few clients, like Sarah said, came from the podcast, and then her management company actually was really good at kind of like anytime that, because they're so busy, anytime they had a new client come that was like, hey, I need help designing, they kind of just like reached out to us. So we get an idea of like if it's a one bedroom, one bath, we typically do like a lot of what we've done so far is apartments. So we start talking to them about what they're looking for and kind of get an idea of how involved they want to be in the design, because some of our clients have wanted to be extremely involved and some of them are like, please take it, do whatever you want, just make it look beautiful kind of a thing. So we've had both right. and it's just, I mean, kind of, it just snowballs from there where we start getting in our head a design direction that we want to go in. And we predominantly have used Wayfair. So we'll go on and we'll start making a whole list for a design direction that we want to go in. And we obviously have a budget, which these Airbnb apartments, their budget is very small because you want to be making profit as quickly as right. possible. So we start designing and ours is really trying to make it as experience-based as possible. Like if we are picking a design direction, we want to go all in on it because really you can pick furniture pieces, toss them in there and it's a livable space, but we want to make it look as Instagrammable right. as possible because that's really what people are going for these days and that's what's going to stand out. So we'll make like wow factors in the space and we'll do our Wayfair order. And then we also try to make it, the ones that we install, we try to make turnkey. So we will do the Walmart run. We get all of the supplies down to sponges for the kitchen and shampoo, conditioner, soap for the bathroom, everything like that. So we try to make it to where it's decorated and functional from the minute that we leave the space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge that's selling awesome. Point for a lot of the investors that we work with, especially because most of our clients are investors that have full-time jobs elsewhere and do not have the time to mess with this. And so for them, right, you know, a lot of them, even if they do have units that were installing and getting ready in DFW, these clients and investors aren't even in the state, right? So it's almost this strange relationship where you've got someone who's having you do this unit, but you're never going to meet them. And you also, they're never going to walk through the space. Like, they're never even going to, like, in person see the final product. They're just going to see pictures of it, and they're going to see the income that it's bringing in after you leave. And so you almost, like, they don't really get to see their return on investment until they see that first, second, third month's profitability. And you really don't get to have the satisfaction of getting, like, the, hey, it's a job well done, until they see the value in having you design it into an experience and how it's doing in comparison to units around that don't have that touch.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, and if you think about it too, that's where you guys have to do, you know, an impeccable job of creating a trusting relationship, because they're obviously, you know, handing it over to you. And, you know, and you're the ones making it come to life and giving and offering that experience on behalf of them. And so, yeah, that's a huge thing. And I love that you guys incorporate all of that into it, because it's kind of like, I mean, speaking from as a realtor, you know, we love the idea of making an income. And like, I think we're typically known to, you know, have rentals and all that stuff. And but like, we don't have the time to do that, or maybe even the skill set or design capabilities like you guys do. And I think that's awesome that you all offer just a full package, which obviously just is more value to us and to anybody else looking to invest.
And I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, these investors are numbers people. So for us, it's always a conversation about justifying why we're spending money, where we're spending it. And it has to have ultimately a number sign attached to why we're doing it. So like, you know, when you think about interior designers and those people working with, let's say, residential design specifically, you've got a wife or a husband or a daughter, whoever you're designing for, you've got their opinion and their opinion only in mind. And you can almost, you know, suggest to spend a little more here or a little more there just because it, you know, the aesthetic is better, or it's going to make, you know, your room be slightly more the way that you want it. But when you're dealing with investors, they ultimately do not care about any of that. You know, they're never going to be staying in the space. They're never going to see it. It's not going to impact them emotionally. And so you have to be able to explain why design and art and furniture is going to be a good investment for them. And so it just is a whole different way about, there's a whole different thought process about how you're presenting your work to that person. You know, in school, you're taught to like play on their emotions and make sure that it's exactly what they want and cater to them. And it's just not that conversation at all with investors.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that's a great thing though to offer. I mean, and you really do have to put yourself in the shoes of your client. You know, you have to, obviously, and you probably have different types of clients that get involved, but you definitely have to know them to be able to offer them the best value. And I think you guys are on like such a great route with that, because I mean, I was thinking about the other day when right before I reached out to you guys, because we're, I mean, typical Michigander looking for a place in Florida, because that's just what we do. And I realized I'm looking for something specific. I tell myself, oh, I'm not high maintenance. I don't need anything special. But I'm turning down the ones that don't catch my eye and that don't like you said, offer an experience, because it's just, honestly, it's in a way, it's a lot like showing homes, right? But you're just like Airbnb searching online, and you want the one that you kind of feel a connection to, or you feel like, oh, that feels like home away from home. And it's a huge thing. And honestly, we all know that visuals are everything and pictures are worth a thousand words. So I just think you guys are on a really good path with that, because I consider myself not high maintenance. Other people might disagree. I guess we'll find out.
Like, for example, at the end of the year last year, we kind of negotiated a deal with the owner of an apartment complex where he I should back up a little bit. COVID kind of created this space where you've got apartment complex owners, privately owned apartment complexes, who normally exclusively rent out to full-time tenants who are actually going to be living there, paired with a bunch of Airbnb investors who have been waiting for the market to crash so that they can get opportunities that they couldn't get in a thriving market. And so all of these apartment complex owners who now couldn't get full-time tenants, because if people are moving out of their apartment, they're then moving back in with their parents, not into another apartment complex. We have this space where we could kind of, you know, we had the plug, I suppose, for all of the hosts that are looking to get into a unit. And it was just a matter of us finding the units to put them in that would kind of generate our own work. And so when we did that, we found one apartment complex here in Fort Worth where the owner was like, yes, this is exactly what I need. He had had an apartment complex that, you know, had been completely vacant for 3 months and couldn't get any full-time tenants in there, but we were able to fill it up almost immediately. But that means that you've got, you know, several Airbnbs in the same exact apartment complex that are all in competition with one another. And so, you know, when it comes to design, like you were saying, when you're on Airbnb, you're looking for something specific. And there's a bunch of statistics about how Airbnbs that are kind of niched down are more successful and generate more revenue. And so that's kind of what we've been trying to do, especially with the ones that are side by side, is to just design them as vastly different as we possibly can so that it kind of removes that competition from one another, so that they all can see the same amount of profitability. But that just, you know, it makes it fun for us because none of the things that we're designing are even slightly the same.
Right. I saw that too on your Instagram, and you guys can go check them out on there, where you guys showed that, where everyone is so, and it really is, they are drastically different, but they all have a personality. They all have their own experience. And I think that's what's so cool. And the cool thing is that when we are looking for a place to stay like that, you're not looking like you, so it is like showing a home, but it's also not, because you're not looking for something that's, you know, 5 years that you're going to spend 5 years in. You're looking for something that you're going to spend a week or even a couple days in. And therefore you have like, there's just this freedom you have to go try anything fun, go try something different. And it's not like, you know, you're not stuck with it forever, but it's just this little bit of experience that you get to go and just have something different, which I think,
and it just presents this really unique design challenge for us. I mean, there are so many units that both of us will design, and you know, Emily will love one and I'll be like, I would never stay here, you know, and then I'll design another and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I would definitely pick this one. And Emily will be like, I mean, it looks great, but I would never pick it for myself. And so so for us, it's like, you know, we always, when we first started, both of us were like, oh, we're going to be, you know, the Chip and Joanna Gaines of Airbnb. And now we've kind of changed that tune, because it's like, when you look at Chip and Joanna, I mean, they've got such a succinct style, you know, you kind of know what to expect when you look at their designs, and you can kind of point out like, oh, that's a Joanna Gaines. And so for us, it's almost like, you know, maybe there is some common theme of them being extravagant and like all over the place, but as far as design style, there's just not a whole lot of consistency between the ones that we do.
Right. Well, I mean, hey, that it's never boring. And I mean, honestly though, I think in the way that things are being, like, I guess the trends right now too, though, I mean, everything is for homes, which is great. Everything is like white, you know, it's very clean, and which is great. But I do think that, I think that we are going to start moving towards color. And I know, like, I was even just looking it up the other day, but like even color trends for 2021 are so drastically different, because everyone has had to be in their homes for so long that they're like, yo, we need some color. We need some vibrancy. We need some, you know, just something different that maybe pops in the room. And it, honestly, that like even the paint colors obviously, offer an emotional, some kind of an emotional impact. So I think that's really, really cool. It's a different way of going about it, which I think is smart, because it doesn't look like
Airbnb. We want to make sure that they're not looking like hotels, because people are choosing Airbnb over hotels for a reason.
Yeah.
And so you don't want somebody to just feel like they're walking into something that looks exactly the same as every other place in the building, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's so true. So down south in, I think Buchanan, Michigan, we went to one just this past summer when things were open for a hot second. And it was, I remember picking the Airbnb because of the design aspect. And they, so you, it's kind of like finding a mix between making people feel at home, but then also offering a, you know, a, like a getaway feel, you know? So it's not like going into somebody else's home necessarily. It's almost like it's your home for just a short amount of time. And I mean, honestly, this place, it's really funny. I will have to send you guys the name afterwards just to check it out. But, it's, is in the middle of absolutely nowhere in the sketchiest building I think we've ever been in. But the place itself was amazing. Like, you just felt like you were in your own little space. Like, I forgot that the walls were falling apart outside. it sounds really awful, but it was a really amazing, amazing spot. They did an awesome job with it. So it's like, It's obviously you guys are dealing with something different when you guys have apartments and stuff like that. But I mean, it is just about creating that space where people can just get away.
And I mean, ultimately, like home. That's kind of our goal, is to get into more away from the apartments, which, I mean, in Airbnb terminology, they refer to it as arbitrage because you're renting an apartment and then re-renting it out on Airbnb. But you know, the budget for those is so small because they're only signing, you know, a 12-month or an 18-month lease. And so there's just this little bit of a gamble factor where, you know, at the end of that lease, is it still going to make sense for me to keep this thing running, or is the rent going to just skyrocket? Mm. Or, you know, there's just some factors where they're like, you know what, we'll invest this amount in it because we know we can get a return on investment in year one. Whereas ultimately we've started working with and want to kind of push more towards working with people who have larger properties that they own, that they have a 30-year note on, because I mean, they're just, their budget for those is so much higher because they're looking at, you know, they want that furniture to last at least 15 years, and they want to make sure that it's worth their investment. And, you know, this is kind of their baby in a sense. They have to make sure that it produces, you know, the maximum amount of profitability as it can, because they bought a house, you know. It's not just a lease that you can break. So you know, and ultimately, I mean, the more extravagant and experience based the house is, the more we're attracted to it. So we're constantly looking at these like experience based Airbnbs, like the Invisible House or the Tree House in Atlanta, or things like that, that are just like really well known spaces that people just, you know, are paying literally $3,500 a night for on a weekday. Mm-hmm. And to be able to design something like that ultimately is kind of like the far, far, far out goal. but you know, something like that, it's just, you know, sky's the limit when it comes to Airbnb and the experience that it provides.
I mean, honestly, that feels like a big goal, but I mean, that's what's crazy, is it's the right person hears about this, or, you know, you connect with the right person and all of a sudden you're in the middle of that. And that's just a really cool thought. And honestly, there's, like you said, the sky is the limit right now, especially, I mean, like, I know here in West Michigan, we're all on the lake, and we see Airbnbs here and there, but there's just so many opportunities everywhere. So I feel like, especially since you guys are remote too, and now globally, you just, you know, really, like, seriously, the sky is the limit for you guys, which is really exciting to see where you guys will go next and how you'll grow. So I kind of want to do a quick switch here and just, I guess, so for anybody listening, obviously, this is just a really cool story to hear about how you guys started this and where you guys are going. But then can you guys maybe lay out some of the benefits of having an Airbnb? Obviously, we know it can make income.
With Airbnb, it's kind of a hit or miss when it comes to the city that you're located in, because it's such a new thing. I mean, Airbnb is like 10 years old. They're just now starting to develop some pretty strict rules and regulations around it. So, before it was like anyone could just, you know, jump on any sort of a house and put it on Airbnb, and there were just no real ramifications that could come back and slap them in the face. Right. But now there's a lot more due diligence that goes in on the front end of, you know, what are the regulations in my city? Are they looking at making any? What's the competition? How much, you know, profitability can be had there? Is there winter? Things like that. But ultimately, I mean, after you get past that red tape, which, you know, I don't think it's any more or less red tape than long-term real estate investing. It's just, it can be nearly four or five times mm-hmm. more profitable than a long-term investment. So that's why we've seen a ton right. of real estate investors, which is a good bulk of our clientele who have, you know, these houses. For example, we've got this one investor who's in DFW who has 25 or 27 houses that are long-term rentals. And starting in March of this year, he's wow. hiring us to transition the first one and plans on transitioning all of them because he just believes that, like, this is the way things are shifting.
Wow.
Yeah. And then also now, especially exciting. Since social media has really taken off, you know, because of COVID and just, you know, the time that we're living in. there's also a website now called PeerSpace.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Airbnb in a sense, but instead of having people stay overnight in your space, you're renting it out to either offices or, I guess, small businesses that don't have an office that just need a meeting space for like mm-hmm. 1 to 2 times a week, or they're renting it out to content creators. So whether it be, you know, photographers, videographers, small right. businesses who are making marketing materials, they're just constantly looking for a new environment to create content. And so PeerSpace has kind of opened up this platform where you can post really anything. You can post your backyard, you can post your rental house, you can post your apartment, your Volkswagen van, whatever you want to post.
Wow.
On there, and people can rent it, and that has an even higher ROI than Airbnb does, just because, you know, I put one of my listings on PeerSpace and I think it rents out for like $120 a night. Well, when you post it on PeerSpace, they rent it per hour and it's like $125 per hour. So if you have a photographer come in, mm-hmm. you know, you're making $300-$500 in a day and you don't have anyone staying there for 24 hours. So that's just kind of opened up a whole new box of right. worms because, you know, you assume that creating content, people are always going to go for these really high end, beautiful, well-designed homes. But a lot of times they want something that looks average, you know, just kind of run of the mill. So right. it's just kind of shifted everyone's mindset from, right. you know, we have to have a lot of properties to make $500 to $1,000 profit a month. Per property, to where now you're looking at just much larger numbers than that, and all you have to do is furnish your place. So,
right, yeah, no, that's really true. This is all really good information, I think. Because it is, I feel like it is relatively new, especially for people getting involved in it. So then, I guess, what would your advice be for somebody who's kind of on the fence about this?
Well, I've had so many people actually from West Michigan, because both Emily and I mean, we live in Texas now, but we grew up in just outside of Grand Rapids. But I've had so many people from Michigan reach out and they're like, oh my gosh, I wish you were, you know, still here so you could help us start this, get this ball rolling. And, you know, we do mostly design, but when it comes to consulting for people who are looking to get into Airbnb, I've always suggested to try and find a local Airbnb management company, just as a starting out point, because ultimately, I mean, instead of trying to get through all that red tape on your own and figure out what the regulations are, what your competition is, what the profitability is, like all of that stuff, especially as a beginner, is just really intimidating and takes forever to really get a grasp on whether the numbers that you're looking at are correct or not. And so I always tell people to reach out to a management company because they're used to looking at that every single day. So they're already managing whoever your competition is going to be. They're already aware of, you know, what kind of profitability can be had and things that you need to look out for and so on and so forth. So, I mean, even if you were managing it yourself, just to have a conversation with someone who's really plugged into your local Airbnb community is always probably the safest route.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Go find an expert in it right now so that you have to, exactly. Yeah, it is hard to navigate that stuff, especially in the beginning. And I think that honestly, when we try to do that ourselves, it almost puts a roadblock in the way if we get discouraged, or it honestly could even stop us from doing it in the beginning because we feel like we're so new to this and we don't have that skill set. So I think it's really smart to talk to someone who's directly involved in it. When I hired a management company,
they had all the advice in the world of all the things that I was doing wrong that I had no idea. So I was like, why didn't I find you sooner?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I know. There's something to say about just hiring things out aren't necessarily the greatest at to make more profit. Okay, so I'm thinking maybe just to end, do you guys want to share maybe one of your favorite experiences so far or one of your favorite projects just to give people a little bit of an insight on it?
Yeah, I'll go first because we just finished my favorite one. We actually have a client that's lives here, but she has a bunch of Airbnbs in Florida houses, actually. And we give her a few different design options and she picks her favorite, and she actually picked two, and it ended up being like this Moroccan kind of themed house. And so there was just color and bold pieces everywhere in this house. And I spent days designing it and I just dove in and I was like, Sarah, I've got this one. I don't need your help on this one. I'm just in it, and I just fell in love with it. And I'm so excited. We just put the furniture order in yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so excited to finally see it come together. We picked everything down to the paint color on the outside of the house for this one. So I'm really excited to see how this one actually comes together, because I spent so much time on it and I just loved the concept so much.
Yeah. And for Emily, I mean, you know, I've been an interior designer. I went to college with Emma for interior design. So it's just been a world that I've been in, you know, longer than Emily. And Emily, you know, just being so gung-ho to just dive in, I'm like, oh my gosh, good for you. And so, you know, we've had this like back and forth since we've started where she'll take a first stab at the design and then we'll have a conversation about, you know, tweaking a few things. And it's just been, especially with this design, I did not look at it at all until like the day before we were ready to present to the client. And I just remember looking at it and being like, oh my gosh, like, this is so succinct. It's so beautiful. Like, everything is exact. It's just really, really, really beautiful. So, it is a remote client. So it's one of those things where you just spend all this time, you know, visualizing it in your head because you don't ever actually get to be in the space. And so to see it kind of now unfold, it's just going to be so exciting, especially since she is like repainting the entire outside and, you know, taking all the inside furniture out and redoing it all. So it's going to be a big transformation, and it's going to be an exciting one to kind of watch.
That's literally going from the outside to the inside, just kind of almost in a way of like gutting it.
And we're painting the outside of the house bright coral. It's like one of those things where like you would never paint your actual house bright coral. And the client several times was like, are you sure? And we're like, yes.
Yeah, we kind of had to talk her into that one.
Look, if you want yours to jump out, like you've been screaming at the top of your lungs that you want this to be bold, like don't back out when we're suggesting this bold color. For my favorite, well, I think to be honest, one of my favorite experiences that we've had so far is we had one client specifically that reached out to me months and months and months ago, and she heard about what we were doing through the grapevine. She connected with us on Instagram, which was just kind of like the only lead that's popped up that hasn't been from like our management company or the podcast, where it was just like, you know, I've kind of been following along and I really want to start an Airbnb. And she was a client that she doesn't have any Airbnbs previously. So this was like a first go around for her. And so it just really put the pressure on both sides of things, right? Like, you want to be able to give her really solid business advice, because if she's not, like, not that we're responsible for making sure that she makes money at the end of the day, because ultimately she is the investor, but, you know, that's just such a reflection of our work. And so, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to find the perfect unit for you. And I just put her on pause for several months, because I just was like really trying to make sure that, you know, if it wasn't going to be something that I recommended to my mom, for example, on a good investment, I did not want to recommend it to her. And she, you know, we finally got a unit available in Fort Worth that I thought was just going to be an absolute moneymaker. and I felt confident enough to give it to her. And so she just immediately was like so trusting. She didn't, you know, there's always this like conversation about, you know, you haven't been doing it that long. Do you know really what you're doing? And like, there's this like trust game where we're not, you know, incredibly experienced by any means. And we don't have this like several year proven lineup of success that we can hand someone that just like takes that, you know, anxiety off of them. And for whatever reason, she was just, you know, I trust you, you're going to do great. You know, it's going to be wonderful. And so we ended up having her sign a lease, and I asked her if she wanted any help with design direction. And she was like, nope, not at all. And so basically I took my wedding color palette and like wedding inspiration. Emily and I both got married in 2019. And so all of that is still kind of fresh in our brains. And I basically like took the color palette of my wedding and turned it into an Airbnb. It turned out it turned out beautifully.
Wow.
It's probably my favorite unit that we've done so far. For any of you listening, if you're following along, it's the restroom. I think it's called Copper Cabin or something like that. But, you know, we finished it. She was super pleased. And I've just like been on pins and needles ever since, like waiting for her first month's profitability to come in and second month's, because we've just kind of been keeping an eye on it because I want to make sure ultimately that like her entire experience has been optimistic. And January, which is generally a slow month, she made more profit than I have ever made at my unit that's right down the street from hers. And it's just done incredible. Like, I basically created my own competition in a way, but it's like equally as satisfying because the customer is just, you know, she's just like, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get all my friends to do this. This is amazing. I can't believe we, you know, waited so long. Let's do another. And it was just all around like this really wholesome experience where it wasn't just the design that we watched play out. It was the design, the profitability, the guiding someone who's new to Airbnb through the whole process. And so just from start to finish, that one felt so good.
When you work hard and you give quality work, people are going to come back for that. You know, people are going to share that. And that's, you know, that's where we get a lot of our businesses, because people like what we do and they pass it on. That's really cool for you guys. And I'm so glad that it's worked out the way it has. And I mean, obviously there's always bumps in the way. And like you guys said, it wasn't easy. Sounds like definitely worth it. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you, for people to maybe talk to you about their vision?
Through our website or Instagram. You can go to carwelldesign.com or look up at carwelldesign on Instagram. And her and I both are constantly checking those every single day. So, especially now that, you know, Emily's going to be in Thailand and I'm still going to be here in Texas. We're obviously trying to grow our social media presence just because it's good business, but two, our social media presence is in a way going to be a big thing that connects us even when we're so far apart. So we just want to build that community up, one, because, you know, both of us are going to be relatively lonely, but two, it's going to give us something to do together constantly. So our followers are definitely at this point turning into more like our coworkers. So we appreciate that interaction more than probably most people.
That's great to create those relationships honestly help you guys keep yours, even being so far away. Well, guys, thanks so much for being willing to come in and talk about that. I think this is a really cool industry to be in for interior design, but then also just like to be dabbling in Airbnb and short-term rentals, and just how much of an income is possible there. So just really grateful that you guys were, you know, able to share your story. Do you guys have any last pieces of advice?
From experience, I jumped off the ledge at the worst time possible and we're still afloat. So just don't, you know, they say paralysis by over analysis. And I feel like that is so true. It's just one of those things that you're not going to know until you take that leap of faith. So,
well, thanks again, guys. For anybody listening, like I said, go find them on Instagram or on their website. And I will put the stuff in the description as well. Other than that, I think that that's all we have for today. So, guys, I wish you guys the best of luck for the rest of 2021, and also Emily moving to Thailand. It's such a brave and cool thing to do. So, yeah, go keep up with them, guys. But then, other than that, we will talk to you guys. And that's really it. I ended that one so awkwardly. I'm so sorry.